Welcome back, everyone. Let's dive into a topic I'm sure we've all heard of, but maybe you haven't had the chance to really dig into hypertension.
Yeah, a really common one.
You sent over some NHS material on it, so should we take a look?
Definitely. It's actually a great resource, especially because it addresses some common misconceptions.
Like what?
Well, like the idea of a normal blood pressure reading.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised to see the material kind of challenging that whole idea.
Right. We often think of it as one number, but...
One perfect number.
Yeah, but it's really more of a range, and it can vary, you know, depending on the person or different factors.
Makes sense.
They recommend aiming for somewhere between 170 and 135-185 millimill HG for most adults.
Okay.
With 30-80 is a good average target.
So that gives us a starting point, I guess. But then they mentioned that even 30-80 could be a concern during pregnancy.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like normal isn't so simple anymore.
It really isn't. It's actually a good example of why hypertension is often called, the silent killer?
Oh, right, yeah.
You might not even realize you have it until there's already a problem.
Because there aren't always clear symptoms.
Exactly. The material actually compares it to a ticking time bomb.
Wow.
Which I think is a pretty accurate analogy.
Yeah, definitely paints a vivid picture. But are there any symptoms to look out for, even if they're not always there, just so people have an idea?
Oh, absolutely. This source mentions some unusual ones, like those morning headaches that some people get. You know the ones?
Oh, yeah.
Those can actually be a sign of high blood pressure, even if you feel fine otherwise.
I had no idea. I'm already starting to see why this deep dive is important. Now, when we're talking causes of hypertension, I remember seeing something about primary and secondary types.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Can you explain the difference?
Sure. So primary hypertension, which actually makes up most cases, is kind of a medical mystery. Like, we don't fully understand what causes it.
Really?
Yeah. It probably involves a mix of genetics and lifestyle factors, but we don't know for sure. Secondary hypertension, on the other hand, is a bit more straightforward.
Oh, okay.
It's directly caused by an underlying condition.
So it's like playing detective to try to figure out the root cause.
Exactly.
And there are a lot of possibilities listed in this material for secondary hypertension.
There are, like kidney disease, problems with your endocrine system, even sleep apnea. All these things can contribute to high blood pressure. And then there's also certain medications that can be a factor as well.
It's a lot to consider. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, the source mentioned a pretty startling statistic about how common hypertension is in the UK.
Yeah, it really struck me too. About 1 in 3 adults in the UK has hypertension.
Wow.
Yeah, think about that. That's like, if you meet 3 people today, there's a good chance one of them has high blood pressure.
That puts it into perspective. It's kind of scary to think about. It makes you realize that hypertension could affect anyone. You know?
It really could. And that actually brings us to risk factors, which the material talks about a lot. We know things like age, your ethnicity, family history, those can all play a role. But those are things you can't control.
Right.
So the material focuses more on what they call modifiable risk factors, the things you can actually do something about.
I like that.
Me too.
Like what?
Well, they emphasize things like diet, obviously.
Yeah.
Watching your salt intake, regular exercise, cutting back on alcohol.
The usual suspects.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's good to be reminded.
Definitely. Especially with how busy life can get. Speaking of which, there was something in here about how diagnosis isn't always simple. Like, just because you have one high reading at the doctor's office, it doesn't necessarily mean you have hypertension.
You're talking about white coat hypertension, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, it's that thing where your blood pressure shoots up just from being in a medical setting. More common than you think.
I totally get that. I feel like I always get anxious at the doctor, so how do they get an accurate reading then if someone's prone to that kind of anxiety?
Well, the material talks about doing multiple readings over time to get a better picture.
Yeah.
They also talk about ABPM.
ABPM.
Ambulatory blood pressure monitoring. It basically means you wear a device for like 24 hours and it tracks your blood pressure the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a much more holistic view.
I like that. What about like those at-home blood pressure monitors?
HBPM.
Yeah, HBPM. Those seem pretty popular these days.
They are becoming more common.
Are they accurate?
Yeah, they can be, especially the ones that are, you know, recommended by healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be really useful for people to keep track of their own blood pressure at home.
Mm.
Gives them a sense of control.
Totally. So we've talked about lifestyle changes, but what about medication? Is that something that everyone with hypertension needs? Or are there cases where lifestyle changes are enough?
It's a good question. I mean, medication can be really helpful, but it would be great if lifestyle changes were enough sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And this material actually makes a distinction between different stages of hypertension, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, okay.
So for what they call stage one, which is basically mildly elevated blood pressure, they suggest medication might be considered if someone has other risk factors,
Like what?
like diabetes, or if there's already some sign of, organ damage or something.
I see.
But for more severe cases, what they call stage two hypertension, they recommend medication for everyone.
Along with the lifestyle changes, or.
Yeah, definitely in conjunction with those. It's like a two-pronged approach.
Got it. So I know there are a bunch of different blood pressure medications out there. So
Definitely.
does the material get into specifics at all?
They do. Let me see. Okay, yeah. They mentioned a few different classes like ACE inhibitors, ARBs, calcium channel blockers. Those are common ones. Oh, and thiazide-like diuretics. I think I'm saying that right.
Wow, that's a mouthful. And those all do different things.
Yeah, they work in different ways, which is actually really cool. The source actually explains like the science behind how some of them work.
Oh, interesting.
Like, for example, okay, so ACE inhibitors, they block an enzyme that basically constricts your blood vessels.
So it's making them narrower.
Yeah, exactly. So by blocking that enzyme, the ACE inhibitor helps the blood vessels relax and widen.
Which lowers your blood pressure.
Exactly. It's like removing a roadblock in your circulatory system, which I thought was a great way to think about it.
That makes sense. Now, what about like combining medications? Does that ever happen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sometimes people need more than one to get their blood pressure under control, or maybe they need to target different things that are contributing to it.
It's really complex, but it's amazing how much research and science goes into managing this one condition.
It is.
It makes you realize how important it is to take it seriously.
100%.
Speaking of which, what happens if it's left untreated? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so this is where it gets a little serious. Uncontrolled hypertension is linked to a lot of other health problems.
Like what?
Well, the big ones are heart attack, stroke, kidney damage, even problems with your vision, and cognitive decline.
Wow, that's a pretty scary
It
list.
is. But the good news is early detection and management can make a huge difference. Even just a small decrease in your blood pressure can really lower your risk of those complications.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Not at all. It's more about taking control of your health and knowing what you can do to stay healthy.
Exactly. And we all have the power to do that. Well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our hypertension deep dive.
We really covered it all, huh?
We did. Hopefully, everyone listening has a better understanding of this complex condition and feels empowered to take control of their health.
That's what we want.
And if you are concerned about your blood pressure, please talk to your doctor. Remember that even small changes can make a big difference. Until next time, keep learning and take good care.